right. Well, welcome back to our Made for Him podcast, posted by Evangelical Institute. I am Susie Zor, and I'm your host, and I'm here with Sarah Beth Harris. Sarah Beth attended the Evangelical Institute and graduated from her third year in 2017. She's now the wife of one of the teachers here and a mother of three beautiful children. And she's a great encouragement to many. I know, myself included. So it's a pleasure to have you here. And today we're going to talk about the Made for Him conference that we had this year. And Sarah Beth was one of our speakers. So we're going to talk about what you shared with us. And yeah, we'll just get into it. So yeah, what excited you to be able to have this opportunity to share with these young girls, especially this younger group of girls? You talked to the 11 to 14 year olds. So
yes.
What was running through your head?
I remember when you asked me, actually, mm-hmm. and you mentioned talking to that age group, 11 to 14, and immediately I wanted to do it mm-hmm. because I've often thought at the remarkable opportunity it is to be able to speak into a young girl's life. And mm-hmm. that's because the Lord spoke to me when I was 11. And that was just in my mind. So when you said 11 to 14, I really just jumped mm-hmm. because I remember, I have some really clear memories from that time, that age in mm-hmm. my life. And just looking at that young age group, I feel like often a lot of resources, a lot of teaching and books are mm-hmm. written for a little bit older, maybe more like maybe 14 or above, mm-hmm. but for that young 11, 12, 13, maybe they don't always get as much time mm-hmm. Being directly taught in a way that balances both their youth and the mm-hmm. potential for spiritual maturity that an 11, 12, 13-year-old can have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what really excited me, honestly, was just thinking back to my own conversion, really, how the mm-hmm. Lord worked in my life when mm-hmm. I was that age. And so I really wanted to share that story, that testimony yeah. of his work in my own life mm-hmm. as part of that. So that was made me really excited to mm-hmm. say yes.
Yeah. 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 I remember you being really excited. Yeah. So that was encouraging. Well, speaking of your testimony, you shared how the Lord used a particular passage yes. in his word to transform you. Can you kind of share that with us and what you shared? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll back up a little bit just to give a little bit of my background, because I grew up in an incredibly sincere, truly Christ-honoring home. My parents mm-hmm. loved the Lord and gave us children every reason to believe the gospel mm-hmm. because of how they lived. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for that. They taught us the truth. And for me growing up, it was like you learn things like 1 + 1 = 2, and you just believe it. It's just a mm-hmm. fact of life. And they taught us also, Jesus is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. He died for your sins that you might have life forever. And I just believe it. Just like they taught me, green is green, blue is blue. It's just true. Yeah. You just believe it. That's not a bad thing. I'm really glad I grew mm-hmm. up in a home like that. But there was a decisive change that came to me the summer I was 11. And my sister, Elise, she was 3 years older than me. I really looked up to her. I still do. We shared a room, so we shared all kinds of conversations and just mm-hmm. we had a great relationship. She actually came here to the Evangelical Institute for the youth conference when she was mm-hmm. 14 and I was 11. Of course, I was stuck at home. But when she came back, she was different. She had always been an amazing older sister to me. Mm. But when she got back, there was a very clear difference in her life. And it affected just home life in a beautiful way. And the biggest change was her joy. It was so evident. And joyful people are wonderful to be around. You like being around joyful people. But they can also expose you a bit. And that's what happened to me. As I looked at my older sister, I realized I don't have the joy she has. that is not who I am. And she attributed that joy to Jesus Christ and to her newfound walk with him. Mm-hmm. And that got me thinking, and I don't mean to be dramatic, but the truth is, I became very tormented inside of me, mm-hmm. even for an 11-year-old. And here is the thought, here's the point of trouble. It was Jesus Christ. If I don't have that joy, does that mean I don't have Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. I just assumed that. All my 11 years, mm-hmm. my young years, I just assumed that. Mm-hmm. But now I was confronted with a difference in someone's life that Jesus had made, mm-hmm. and that difference was not evident in mine. And so I was just thrown into a war inside of me, really. It affected my life. Of course, it was on the inside. I don't think anyone else was aware, but I was deeply troubled. And the mm-hmm. point of fear was, where am I going to be when I die? Mm-hmm. Am I really his? And I struggled with that. I was not at peace. I prayed, and I believe I was reading the scriptures, but it was days, if not weeks, of mm-hmm. this wrestling inside. And then one night, it was dark in our house. I could not sleep. I went out onto our couch in our den, turned on a lamp, and I opened my Bible. Mm-hmm. And I opened to John 14, mm-hmm. and I read. And for the first time in my life, it wasn't just words on the page. It was words spoken directly to me, mm-hmm. directly to my situation, mm-hmm. directly to my heart. Mm-hmm. And what did I read? I read Jesus speaking to his disciples. He said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Mm-hmm. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And it was mm-hmm. just exactly like the Lord Jesus was speaking to me, mm-hmm. Sarah Beth, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. And yeah, that was the first time mm-hmm. his words were really like a voice mm-hmm. to my life, to mm-hmm. my mind and my heart. And with those words, peace filled me, because I did believe in him. Mm-hmm. I did not just believe that he existed, mm-hmm. but believed the things that I had been taught from his word, who he is, mm-hmm. who Jesus is, mm-hmm. And what he's done on my behalf. And so that was the turning point in my life mm-hmm. as an 11-year-old. And of course, that's in my mind mm-hmm. when I'm speaking to young girls. I mm-hmm. knew what I was struggling with, and I know that God speaks in his mm-hmm. word mm-hmm. to people just like me, mm-hmm. no matter how old or young. Yes. So that was, I mean, I could go on in that passage, but mm-hmm. That was the crux mm-hmm. of it, I guess. It's just the Lord clarifying yeah. His calling, and my soul is reserved for him for mm-hmm. all eternity. Mm-hmm. Now.
Amen. Praise yeah. the Lord. Yeah. Using his word specifically to the need that you had, and
right.
his word is living, it's active, and you experienced that. That's beautiful.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
I do praise him. I do praise him. And of course, with it, he washed the fears and the doubts away for my future. Mm-hmm. But also with it, as I would grow in my walk over mm-hmm. the years, especially in those teen years, you know, not only was I wrestling with these secret fears that no one else could see, but I had secret sins too. And the gospel doesn't just wipe fears away. Mm. It takes care of the problem, the issue, yeah. which is the sin inside. Mm-hmm. And so that's there too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He takes the sins away mm-hmm. and with it, the fears mm-hmm. of the future. So,
amen. Even as, you know, an 11-year-old growing up in a Christian
right.
good home, being taught the word, having truth around you, there's still the human heart. You weren't sinless at 11. You
definitely
had
not.
Things that you needed to bring to the Lord, needed washing, needed cleansing. Yep. You did that.
Yep. Still do. Still bring those things.
Yes, still, continuously.
Yeah. Mm.
Thank you for sharing that. As you share your testimony, how do you see using a testimony as a way we can encourage others? I mean, you just kind of did that, but even, cause I don't always necessarily think of sharing my testimony with someone, but how can that be used by the Lord to transform others? I mean, even talking about Elise, your sister, like, I don't know what she necessarily shared with you, but even just seeing her life and her joy and her testimony of the Lord bringing her out changed you. So I don't know.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, obviously our lives testify to what we believe in. Mm-hmm. And her life did that, Elise, you know, her joy in Christ and was evident, you know, in life. And there is a time where you have to also put it to words if you want it to have the effect, you know. You know, she didn't just come home and be a joyful person, but she gave the glory to God and said it's because of Jesus Christ in my life. Testimonies are so powerful. I find myself so encouraged just hearing anyone's testimony. And I think something I've been thinking about recently is the fact that my testimony, it's really not my story. It's, it is the story that God is writing. And we should be liberal with sharing that story. It's not just talking about yourself. It's talking about the Lord and what he's done. And so I think sharing our testimonies with our brothers and sisters, our younger ones, or, you know, that is so powerful, with our friends or anyone really who knows you or maybe doesn't even, it's like, it's a real life that's changed, by God, by his word. And that is just so encouraging. I know I'm encouraged when I hear people share this story because it's the story God's writing and we should steward that story and use it for his glory.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like you said, it's for his glory. It's not to say anything about us, but he chose us. He chose us. It's beautiful. Changing gears a little bit with that age group that you, you know, shared with and even talking about you as a 11, 12 year old. What do you see even today as things that are challenges or expectations maybe put on young girls? I know you're not too far removed from that, but still, today as opposed to even 10, 15 years ago that they're facing, and how would you encourage them to live godly lives, joyful lives, even in the midst of that?
Yeah. Things have changed a little bit. Just if I think back to when I was 15, I'm almost 30. I'm 29. And I do remember some things from teenage years. And I did not have a smartphone. I think that is just a big change, like as far as just like if we're trying to pick out like what has changed on the outside, just the availability of everything on the internet via your phone, changes a lot of things. And I was, you know, I don't think you can not even have a phone, but you're still living in a society that is affected by that shift. If society is like the water you're swimming in, then whatever's in the water is going to get on you. So if the rest of the world is feeding on social media or whatever your friend group is, you know, even if you don't have a phone, even if you don't have social media, you're going to feel the effects of that. So I think that is like, that is a change for young girls today. It's like living in a world where there's mirrors on every corner because the phone and its power of constantly capturing moments with its camera and with its capacity to share them instantaneously on social media and create this profile for yourself or whatever, that kind of ability is like, is like mirrors just everywhere. I mean, if we're walking down a road and we pass a building that has like those big reflective windows, you know, oh, is that what I look like when I walk? Oh, it just, you know, you just can't help but like see yourself all the time. And I feel like in this age, this time, young women are just going to be surrounded by themselves. And if not themselves, what they want to be or what they think they should be. So it's just like a world of mirrors and spotlights, and our eyes and our minds can be drawn towards, how am I viewed? Who's viewing me? I mean, we can literally tally how people are accepting us, in a sense, via posts, you know? So that is a change. The change, I think, though, obviously, it just reveals something that true of our hearts, which is we easily love and take care of ourselves and think of ourselves a lot, as opposed to loving the Lord with all our heart and loving the people he's put around us. So my encouragement, I guess, to young girls in that specific shift is to set your sights and to set your minds on the things above, because it is easy to just be swept along down the stream of thought of what's valued by our culture, just because of what we put before our eyes. So to live the godly life, I mean, we have to make some choices to put certain things in front of us. And a huge thing, obviously, is just putting the word of God into our minds, letting him speak to us, because he does speak.
And to be the voice that's louder than any other voice that is around us. Because you're right, so many voices bombarding and speaking things to us. So being in his word, that I'm glad you said that and brought that up. Along with that, what are maybe even some other books or resources that you would recommend for young women to read and to set their gaze on?
That is a great question. There's a little booklet by Tim Keller called The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness that comes to my mind. I'm not sure where you can get that. It is a great book. It changed my life in two, you know, there's certain books that like, they're good, but then there's others that actually like, you can see a shift in your thinking and how you view things. And that is one of them for me, The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. And The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges. These are, you know, in books. So I honestly wish, and maybe someone can point out more resources for a younger, you know, 11 age group. I would hope someone else has a better answer as far as maybe age appropriateness. But one thing is very clear to me. 11-year-olds can comprehend a lot more than we maybe assume. And to give them the real stuff, you know, truth, you know, not water, not fluffed, but straight, you know, so.
You're right. I'll have to look at this. Well, thank you, Sarah Beth. That really was encouraging to hear how the Lord has worked in your life and to see the desire you have to share that with others. I know that's encouraged me and hopefully has encouraged those who have listened. So thank you again. And yeah, next time on this podcast, we'll be talking to another one of our speakers, Marie Gouraud. And as always, you can listen to any other previous episodes, as well as a lot of other resources on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. And please follow us on our social media platforms at Evangelical Institute, including Facebook, Instagram. And then, until next time. Thank you, and have a good day.